All right, good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for joining the third pillar session on the development platform series. So today we're going to do a deep dive on how do you make your solution a native part of Office on every platform. That's very important. We have seen some really cool demos about Office add-ins from different partners like Starbucks, Bloomberg, Office at Work. And all these partners are bringing their solutions in the context of Office clients to provide additional productivity and custom functionality to millions of users that use Office. So my name is Rolando Jimenez, and I'm a program manager on the Office extensibility team. And with me is Wei Maina from the Outlook team.
Hi. So today we're going to go ahead and run through a few things. We're going to start by showing you some demos of the new capabilities that we've enabled across the Office clients. We're also going to touch upon how to develop with these new capabilities. And we want to close out with how do you build these great scenarios for your add-ins. At the end, we'll spend some time talking through the roadmap of what's coming next, where we're thinking of heading.
So how many of you attended the development platform overview session? A few folks. All right. So on that session, basically, we set the context of how this all fits into the development platform. There's basically three main pillars where we are investing to provide developers the tools and the features they need to integrate into Office and Office 365. The first one is about building intelligent apps that connect to our Office 365 APIs through the Microsoft Graph, which is basically a unified single endpoint where we are exposing the APIs that allow access to all the Office 365 services and content. The second one on the bottom is how do you engage users through conversations? So conversations are becoming a new way in which developers can interact with users when an app is not enough because the scenario is too narrow or too long tail, as she described in the keynote. Conversations are a great place to inject custom functionality and have interactions with users. On this session, we're going to do a deep dive on how to make your solution a part of Office, and it's basically Office add-ins. So in the overview session, we talked about several new things that we've been working on for the past several months. There are few things that are going from preview to GA, like Outlook's inadding.com, the ribbon extensibility. This is one new announcement that we are making at Build. We are GA-ing adding commands, which allow you to do a lot of cool stuff. We're going to see how you can do that. There's new things in preview, like the new IT deployment at the Office 365 levels, the Word API 1.3, and the new support for add-ins in OneNote Online. And then there's also several things that we are GA-ing here at Build. There's Office Online features, Visual Studio, Fabric, store improvements, open speccing, better documents and samples, and there's a lot. So we're going to do a deep dive onto that purple bucket and see how those features fit together into some real-world scenarios.
So what's really important to us as we add these new capabilities for Office clients is that these are used in valuable scenarios that engage our users. And so, Rolando, can you take some time and show us some great examples of how developers are creating these real-world scenarios?
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to switch to my demo machine here. And I want to talk about a couple of additional partners that are using some of these new capabilities that we just GA'd at Build. The first one is Picket. Picket is a startup company based in Sweden, and they are targeting the Clipart space. Now, they're not the typical startup. They are a startup that is betting their entire business on being integrated inside Microsoft products, and specifically PowerPoint. So let's take a look at how they are taking advantage of the new capabilities like adding commands and Office Fabric UI to integrate their product into PowerPoint. So while we were preparing this presentation, Wei and I are having this typical debate about cats and dogs. And I'm a cat person, and I cannot convince Wei that cats are just way cuter than dogs. And obviously, I'm going to present my argument in a PowerPoint presentation to just demonstrate Wei how she is not right. So I'm going to use the Pickit add-in. And I want to show you that I'm PowerPoint Online. So we are announcing here at Build that PowerPoint Online is now in full parity with the desktop in terms of APIs and capabilities. So now you can create solutions that work across PowerPoint on the desktop, iOS, PowerPoint Online, and the Mac. Now, another feature I want to show you before we go into the Pickit add-in is the ability to sideload, from a developer perspective, add-ins in Office Online. So before this, you had to, as a developer, have an Office 365 account and a tenant to do this. In this case, I can just click on this Office add-in button. Now you have this new entry point in the Manage My Add-ins that allows you to upload a manifest. So I'm going to browse in my file system and select this Pickit manifest. This is a pre-release version of the next release they're doing in a couple of days in the store. So they've been working on this, and they've been integrating some of the new features. So the first thing you can see is they are obviously adding commands to the ribbon so that the user gets an entry point right away. You can see how PowerPoint Online tells me, hey, this is where the add-in landed. Now, obviously, I can go and click and launch the task pane. You have seen this pattern in a lot of sessions, probably. And I can select pictures, browse collections, and have some great clip art presented to me. I'm just going to go ahead and go to the slide where I really want to drive my point through pictures. And one of the cool things that Pickit did is they integrated commands also in the context menu. So I can right-click here and get suggested images from Pickit. Or if I feel lucky, I can just see, hey, why don't you show me something about cats? Hey, isn't that cute? Yeah, I'm going to win this argument. So that just shows you an add-in that is making great use of adding commands to bring features in the context of the user flow.
Wow, really exciting. That's great, except I'm still not convinced. So I think you've showcased how startups or people just getting started can go ahead and dive right in and start building these web add-ins. But what if you've already created a VSTO add-in? Can you show us an example of how a developer has migrated over to web add-ins?
Absolutely. That's a great question. I mean, we built this new framework on the web to be familiar for web developers. But what about developers that have COM add-ins or VSTO add-ins already in the market? Can they take advantage of this platform? And absolutely. I have this partner add-in here. This is a company called Quorus based on South Africa. And they have a global solution for document generation. So their goal is to minimize the amount of time a user takes to create a business-critical document. And based on their numbers, they're reducing the time of more than 50% just by letting them reuse content, collaborate with other users, and bring that content right in Word. So they are working on this release of their add-in that is going to be available in the summer. And I'm going to show you how they are taking advantage of the new capabilities. In this case, they obviously have right now one entry point in the ribbon to launch their UI. You can see how they built a nice welcome page and a login experience. Now, one of the most critical challenges to connecting to services is the authentication. And we've seen developers having some trouble implementing authentication flows, not just with add-ins, but in general, right? I mean, authentication is not easy. So who hasn't implemented authentication in this room? Everybody, right? So, and it's not easy. I mean, it's supposed to be easy, but there's always all these details. So, and in add-ins, it's a little bit more challenging because you need to work multi-platform. And browsers behave differently across all these different platforms. The good news is that we have some APIs that allow you to make that easier. We're going to take a look at that. So let's see what Quorus does. So they implemented a pop-up dialog through a new API that allows you to do authentication here. And I'm going to log in. Oops. That should work. So I want to show you how this Dialog API and the pop-up makes it really easy to create this auth flow that basically allows the user to have a seamless experience inside Office. Now, they are also using this new pop-up Dialog capability to do things like providing a getting started experience, so they can have a fuller screen help to teach the user how to use their add-in. And finally, when they are providing the main functionality, in this case, let's say I'm assembling a document for an insurance company. I want to put together a table of benefits for my clients. So in this case, I'm going to find the content. They are using Microsoft Graph APIs to reach out SharePoint, in this case, for this content. And what I can do here is I can see a preview using, again, the pop-up dialog. So this is another great use of how you can, within the Office UI, I don't need to leave Office. I can have a preview of how that document looks like. This is exactly what I need. I'm going to click Insert here from the dialog. And then just a couple of clicks, I can reuse some content in my document.
Okay.
So with that, we saw a couple of examples of add-ins in Word and PowerPoint. Now we're going to see. We're going to see some demos of what's going on in the Outlook front.
So we wanted to make sure that users were able to easily get these awesome add-ins that are listed in the store. So we did some work in Outlook, and what we focused on was how to improve our store experience. And I don't know if any of you had used it before, but it was a bit cumbersome. It took many clicks to get there. It was hard to install. It wasn't intuitive for users to figure out. So what we've done is we've added a button to the ribbon that basically loads the store in a dialog. And we've updated the UI a little bit. And it's simple and easy to go ahead and turn these add-ins on and off. The good news is that it's also available in the online as well. So I'm going to go ahead and install a new add-in, Giphy, because I've decided to convince Rolando about how much more adorable that these dogs are. I want to go ahead and send him regular GIFs of adorable dogs. So I'm going to go ahead and start composing my message. So first I have to find my GIF here. Go ahead and send him this one.
Oh, look. It's going to be a tough battle.
And then, so I'll send him these reminders daily. And I can go ahead and send it off, and he'll get that email. So we've made it really easy for users to go ahead and acquire those add-ins. But I think we've spent enough time talking about and showing these demos of the new capabilities. We're at a developer conference, after all. So why don't we dive into some examples? I think Rolando has a great example around Excel.
Absolutely. So I agree with you. This is a developer conference. Let's do code. So let's spend the next 20 minutes doing real-world code. So I want to start in Visual Studio. And another of the announcements that we did today is the availability of Update 2 for Visual Studio 2005, which comes with the new project templates for Office add-ins. So if I open a new project, I can see now the templates have been simplified, and they have now been pivoted into the hosts as opposed to the shapes which we had before. So this makes it easier for me to create an add-in. I'm just going to go to the, apparently I'm not presenting. Small detail. Sorry about that. Thank you. So this is the new project wizard. I selected an Excel add-in, and I'm just going to let Visual Studio create that project for me. While that happens, I'm just going to talk about the scenario that I want to implement. So I want to show you a real-world implementation of a scenario using QuickBooks. So QuickBooks is a very popular accounting software being used by millions of small businesses around the world. and I can have a lot of data here, but what if I want to use and analyze that data a little bit deeper in Excel? There's no easy way to bring that data out of QuickBooks. They have some export to Excel, but it's a CSV file. It's not really great. You need to spend a lot of time formatting. So let's create a solution right now that integrates with QuickBooks Online. So I'm going to go to Visual Studio. And the first thing I want to do is come to the Tools menu and go to this Package Manager, which allows me to browse for packages that have been published on the NuGet package repository. And QuickBooks has created this SDK that it's available there. So this is just showcasing how easy it is for me to also reuse some of the technologies and the community contributed components in my project. Now, add-ins are not just HTML and JavaScript. You can also do ASP.NET server-side code. And this SDK is an SDK for ASP.NET. I'm going to install it on my web project for my add-in. And again, one of the challenges that we're going to tackle here is how do I authenticate against QuickBooks Online? That's always tough, but it's not that difficult with the new APIs that we are providing. So now that I have the SDK included from QuickBooks, I can start my project. So you can see there's a home HTML page and a home JS. There's the manifest here with the XML. This manifest by default in the new project template already includes adding commands. So I'm just going to start with my home HTML. There's already the Office.js reference I need to start using the APIs. There's also Fabric, the latest version of Fabric, included in this project. So I'm ready to create some great UI. I could justify the project and see the default experience. But I'm not going to do that because you can imagine what that is. I'm just going to start doing some code. The first thing I'm going to do is add a script reference that allows me to use the QuickBooks interface on the client side. And then I'm going to replace the boilerplate body with some content of my own. And as you can see, I'm just adding a couple of panels, a welcome panel and an action panel. And I'm using Fabric classes to style this UI. And I'm also using some classes from Intuit through that JavaScript reference that I added. So with that, I have a very simple UI with two panels and a couple of buttons that allow me to do sign in, get expenses, and sign out. Let's go ahead and implement the sign-in flow. So for that, I'm going to start doing some server-side code using the SDK from QuickBooks. So for that, I'm going to add just a regular ASP.NET form called OAuth Manager. They implemented their authentication using OAuth 1.0. So in this case, I'm going to implement some code here. Going to the C sharp. And the first thing I'm going to do is add some using statements to the framework that they provide. And I'm going to replace these with my own content. So add some variables. So these are the variables I'm going to use to handle all the tokens and the URLs. And you can see I'm reading those from the settings. So those settings, I'm going to put them in the web.config. So let me very quickly add those settings to the web.config. One of the key things here is the consumer key and the consumer secret for the OAuth flow. With that, I am ready to start doing some coding to handle the flows. And I'm going to insert the auth functions that allow me to do that. And it's not a lot of code. It's just three functions, the page load, a fire auth, and a read token, and a utility function for creating a session with OAuth. And the page load is very simple. It's going to check the query string. If it has the connect attribute, then it goes and fires the auth flow. If it has the auth token, means that it's a callback. I'm receiving the token on that page, and I'm going to read that token from the query string. Let's put a breakpoint here. And the only other thing I'm missing is in my client.js, I'm going to basically hook the sign-in button to a sign-in function that's going to start all this. So I'm going to replace the boilerplate content that I have in my project. I'm going to leave this error handler and show notification functions because they're going to be useful later. And I'm going to add some initialization code of my own. Again, not a lot of code, just a few lines, and a variable to handle the access token, few buttons, to initialize the clicks for signing, sign out, hiding the panels when I'm signed out. And then I need some functions for the sign-in. So let's add a sign-in function. And this is where the magic's going to start to happen. So you can see the sign-in URL is basically the first page of the flow. That's where I redirect to QuickBooks Online. And you can see I'm going to appcenterintuit.com. Because it is a sign-in flow, I need to tell the add-in that this domain is trusted. So I need to go to the manifest of the add-in and an app domain entry. Basically, this app domain entry says, yeah, we know we're going to redirect to intuit.com, and that is OK. And with that, I think we have a full sign-in flow implemented with an add-in using the new Display Dialog API. Actually, wait a second. I think I missed a couple of functions. Let me go back, because I forgot to add two things. So remember, we added that OAuth manager, and we added some code to handle the authentication flow. So we put the breakpoint there in the read token function. I forgot to add just the HTML page that OAuth manager page is going to render. So there is some very simple HTML page. You can see all this is doing is, as I receive the token, I'm just going to finalize the flow by redirecting to my local host, in this case is my developer machine, and this close ASPX page. And that will finalize the flow in the dialog. So I have the token in the dialog. How do I pass it back to my code in the add-in, right, so that the add-in can start making calls to QuickBooks? So I'm going to create that close HTML page as another ASP.NET form. And I'm going to add, again, just very simple HTML here for what happens with the close. In this case, you can see I'm including the Office.js library. And in the initialize function for that library, I'm just going to grab the token that I got on the server side from the session variable where I'm storing that token. And I'm going to call this message parent API that is going to raise an event on the add-in, and the add-in is going to receive that token. So with that, I think now I am complete. I can press F5. And then let's see how that works. So I have my default launching button here in the ribbon. I'm going to click it. It's going to load my page. And you can see very clean UI because I'm using Fabric, the Office fonts. So this looks nice. I have a simple button and a welcome message. I'm going to click that button, and this is where the Display Dialog API is going to be called, and redirect to intuit.com. So you can see we're starting the sign-in flow. This is expected error on the Intuit page. For some reason, they are not handling that JavaScript error on their page, but it's OK. I'm just going to log in here, sign in. And this warning that they have here is expected because I'm debugging in my local host, so that's not the domain that I registered with the OAuth in their service. But that's OK. That's going to go away when we publish to production. I need to authorize this app to be able to talk to QuickBooks. And when I click authorize, that's when I'm going to get my token back in my ASPX page. So you can see now I'm in the read token function. I'm receiving the token. And all I'm going to do is store that token, if I do F10, on that session variable that will be available to the close page to send back to the add-in. So I'm just going to release this breakpoint and let it go. And then you can see now we are logged in. So just in a few minutes, we implemented a real-world outflow against QuickBooks Online. And this is going to work across platforms because the Display API allows you to have this reliable dialog that is going to always communicate back with your add-in, and you can pass the tokens back and forth. Now, the interesting part, how do I bring the data into Excel? So let's go ahead and implement some more code for that. So I'm going to continue this project by adding a new scaffolded class for a web API. So I want to show you, you can, in add-ins, you can use any of the technologies that are available in ASP.NET and the .NET framework. So in this case, I'm going to use a new web API controller. I want to create an interface on my server that allows me to do queries against my authenticated QuickBooks server-side code and then retrieve the data from QuickBooks. So I'm going to add that class. I'm going to call it my QuickBooks controller. Oh, not QuickBooks. QuickBooks. Oh. Let's see. If, okay, it is QuickBooks controller. All right. So let's see if that works. So in this case, what I'm going to do then is I'm going to go for this class that was auto-generated for me in my web API. This is basically the config that sets how the HTTP requests are routed to my controller. I'm going to change it a little bit to be able to use my new QuickBooks controller. Controller, I think. And then here, I need to make sure it's the same name. So there we go. QuickBooks, and in this case, because the name of the class got generated incorrectly. Ah, thank you. Otherwise, that was not going to work. So now I can go to my QuickBooks controller and start doing the code I need to implement on that API. So I'm keeping the typo there so that you can see that this is real code. So I'm using a few of the namespaces available to me through the SDK. And I'm going to add some code to this controller to allow via web API to get the expenses from QuickBooks. So in an HTTP GET, I'm going to be able to do GET expenses. And what you can see here is the code that is reading the OAuth tokens from the session that is going to be there because we already implemented that flow. And then just some simple code from QuickBooks that allows me to instantiate a new service context. I'm passing the access token that I already obtained in the previous flow. And then I'm going to issue a query to find all the expenses in this case. And then I have a couple of utility functions to set the token from the client, to check the token so that I don't need to log in every time. I can store that in the session. Obviously, in a real-world implementation, you may want to store this in a database or in a more secure place and cache it so that the user doesn't need to log in every time. And I have a clear token utility function, also just clearing the session variables. Now, with that, the only other thing that I'm needed is a couple of tweaks on the default project. The web API doesn't enable the session state, so I'm just going to add one line of code to my global page to configure session state for web API calls, so very simple. And now let's just go to my client side again, to my home JavaScript, and add the function that is going to get the expenses. So I already have code here that hooks up that function if the function is defined. So this is going to call getExpenses. Let's go and add that function here. All right. So I already have a function that does expenses. Let's put a breakpoint there. And this is going to basically call the web API that we just created, getExpenses, receive the data on this callback, and then format the data, put it into a bidimensional array, and then pass that bidimensional array to this addExpenses sheet function, which we're going to take a look as we step through the code. So you can see this is the way you use the APIs, excel.round, then you receive an Excel context, and then you can start adding calls to the Excel APIs. Let's take a look at that. Before I press F5, I want to add one more thing to make my project even more integrated into Office. And for that, I'm going to go to my manifest file, which defines how my add-in integrates into Office. And as you saw in the developer overview, There's this version of a write section. That's where you add your description of how you extend the commanding surfaces, including the ribbon of Office. You can do it differently for each host and for each desktop form factor. Sorry, form factor. In this case, I'm going to customize the desktop. There's a get started experience that I can provide. And then I start defining my extension points. In this case, this is the default that comes with the project, extending the home tab in the ribbon and adding a button, some icons. And I can see that button is going to launch a task pane. Now I'm going to add a new extension point here for a context menu, which you can also extend as we saw with Picket. And that context menu is going to be activated on the cell, an Excel cell. And again, bunch of labels, descriptions, and icons. The important part here is this execute function that is going to basically execute my JavaScript. So this is the function in JavaScript add chart that is going to be executed. And then the only thing I need to do to complete this is in this resources section, I just need to add the resources that this command is going to use. So basically two labels, insert QuickBooks content and expenses chart on that context menu. So with that, let me go ahead and launch the add-in again. Okay, so here's my add-in. And because I reset everything, I'm going to have to log in again. So let's just quickly do that. And continue, okay. And sign in there. So again, I'm in the dialog. Everything is flowing as expected. I'm going to get the callback, pass the token, close the dialog. I'm logging now. Now I can click my Get Expenses button, and that Get Expenses function is going to get called. And as I step into that, you will see how the Excel APIs are being used. I can do some formatting. Add a sheet title to the sheet that I just created up here with the add sheet function, and add some more formats to the rows. I'm going to add some headers to my table. This is the function that basically is going to set the data. If you expand that table body, this is where I put my bidimensional array with all the transactions I just got from QuickBooks. I'm going to just set the values of the range that I created up here. And then I'm going to set some formatting for the columns, currency, et cetera. I'm going to do some more manipulation of the formatting. Some of the cool things that you can do with the new API is, for example, you can control the sorting. I want to sort by newest first. You can also auto-feed columns to make sure that everything looks right. So I'm just going to let it run and then see what I got. So there you go. So we, with a few lines of code, we created a table with expenses from QuickBooks Online. And if I wanted, I could add more code to keep this synchronized and updated and maybe be able to modify data in Excel and modify it in QuickBooks Online as well. Now, let's take a look at my context menu command. So if I come to a new sheet, and let's say I'm creating a dashboard or analyzing this data, I can just come up to a cell, right-click, here's my command. I can click here, and my create chart function is going to be invoked. And hopefully, oh, wait a second. We didn't add a create chart function, right? Let's just do that, and I need to do that in this function file here. So Visual Studio also provides me a boilerplate template for a function file. And we forgot to add our add chart. OK, so there it is. Again, add chart is using the Excel context. And I'm going to run my project. Oh. I'm going to have to do the login again. Sorry about that.
That's OK. As Rolando is doing his login again, what we want to call out here is one of the best practices is that you don't want the user to have to log in every single time they click on that add-in, right? So you want to maybe find a way to cache those credentials so that this user isn't finding this process very cumbersome as they're utilizing their add-in regularly.
Okay, so I'm completing my authorization flow here, obviously. And then now see if I get my create chart. Let's get the expenses. Let this run. Here's my expenses. I can go to another sheet and create a chart. Hopefully this time it works. There you go. So now I'm inserting via the APIs a chart that is bound to that expenses table that I created on the other sheet. And I just did that in about 25 minutes. So that is great. So these are some of the things that are happening in Excel with the new Excel 1.2 API. So we saw the new VS templates, adding commands, using Fabric to create great UI, the display dialog, and how all that comes together to create an end-to-end flow. Now, there's also some of these APIs that you can use in Outlook, but there's also a specific Outlook features that you can also leverage as a developer. So Wei is going to show you a little bit of that.
Yes, so thanks, Rolando. As Rolando showcased in his demo, he enabled the authentication flow in the task pane utilizing that display dialog. Now, that display dialog API can also be used when you're creating a function button. And what I mean when I say a function button is basically a button in the ribbon that when you click, executes some JavaScript on the background. So the authentication flow is important whether or not you're using the task pane or if you're just using that function button. And in fact, the reason why we added the display dialog was to help developers use that function button. If I click that button and it's not supposed to have any UI, how am I going to get the user to authenticate? So with this display dialog, we enabled that scenario. There's another case that you might want to use the display dialog for when it comes to utilizing these function buttons. So in most cases, let's imagine we're going to use the scenario about CRM. So I'm going to develop a CRM application, maybe something similar to Dynamics or Salesforce. And in this add-in, I'm going to create a function button. And what that button is going to allow me to do is when I press track, I'm going to magically determine what account the user wants to associate that message with, and I'm just going to do it for them. Occasionally, maybe that sender is associated with multiple accounts. I'm not quite sure which account that this message would need to be associated with. So in that case, where I need some type of clarity from the user, I can provide a dialogue to allow them, hey, I'm not quite sure what you want here. Can you tell me? So we can go ahead and make sure that we organize your information the way you'd like. So I've already started a project to show you this scenario, but I want to call out a few different things here. Inside this manifest, I have defined an extension point. And in that extension point, I mentioned that I wanted this button to appear on message read. So anytime I'm reading a message, I want to see it appear. It's not necessarily applicable on the compose side. So what I need to make sure I define is that the extension point is appearing on the message read command surface. And there are other extension points. Rolando showed his context menu. I'll talk about a new extension point a little bit later. The other important part that I wanted to call out in this manifest is the action. So I said we were creating that function button. And so in order to do that, we want to change that action to execute function and not show task pane. And once we change that action, we also need to provide that function that we are going to call when that button is pressed. So I'm going to switch over to the function file. And we're going to go and get started with the scenario I described with the track and CRM. So I'm going to go ahead and create the function framework. I'm going to skip over the part where we magically determine which account to associate the message with and just focus on the part where we're a little bit unsure which account the message should be associated with. So the first thing we know is we need to get the user to provide us some clarity. So we're going to go ahead and call that display dialog async API. And then we need to tell it exactly what we want to show in that dialogue, along with specifying, you can specify the height and width. And the height and width here isn't in pixels, it's actually in the percentage relevant to the window that's showing. And we do this, we smartly determine what size screen the user is on, so we can render that dialogue nicely in proportion to the user's screen size. The last part, and this is perhaps the most important part of this, is that callback function. So we didn't know where to associate this account. We wanted to ask the user. But once we ask the user and the dialog has that information, we need to make sure that that information is passed back to the add-in so that we know exactly what to do. And so here, I've used the add event handler to communicate that information back to the user. So, back to the add-in, excuse me. So I'm going to go ahead and start this process here.
So from the add-in, from the dialog, you call that message parent API that we show you in the other demo, and basically it's going to call that event handler that Wei just showed. So you just hook up those two things, and then you have a communication channel between your dialog and your add-in code.
Mm-hmm. And now we can see we have our command that's appearing in the ribbon right here, this track button. So if I click this button, we're going to see that the dialog appears, and it's asking, hey, which account would you like to associate this with? So I'm going to say I want to associate with Contoso. Go ahead and click Submit. The dialog closes. And you'll notice that I actually have a confirmation message that appears here.
And that's really cool. But you didn't show us that code. So I think that's really important, because that's also how you are integrated natively into the Office UI, how you can provide messages in the same places where Outlook and the users will expect those messages.
Yeah. So when you create a template through Visual Studio, we actually provide a helper function here called status update. And in that status update, we utilize the notification messages API, which is what allowed me to put that informational message of success. Or if you had an error, you could also show it using this API as well. All right, so we've talked a lot about the display dialogs, and they can be used for authentication flows. They can be used in the case where you just need a little bit of clarity from the user on a few corner case scenarios. But there's something else that I wanted to showcase as part of Outlook, and that is module extensibility.
And maybe not everyone is familiar with Outlook modules, so maybe you can explain a little bit about modules.
Mm-hmm. So if you look in the bottom left corner here, you see mail, calendar, people, tasks. These are all modules, and they're put in place to make the user the most productive as possible. A lot of people spend a big part of their day inside of Outlook. It's a major part of their workflow. But we also understand that, well, users don't just need mail and calendar. Sometimes they need additional services, right? Whether that be an accounting scenario, a CRM scenario, something else to supplement their mail. And so what we've done is we've allowed the ability for you to create a module yourself. And this is a very simple example showing some HTML rendering inside of this space here. You have complete control over this space. And I also want to call out in the top, there's this concept of command still. You've created your own custom ribbon tab, and you can place those commands so that they manipulate the information inside of inside the module. So if I go ahead and click on one of these buttons, you're going to notice that this total is going to update. And that's just a real simple example showing you we're executing using that function button and updating the information visible inside the module. All right. So we've talked about the display dialog with the function button. We've talked about the module extensibility. But I didn't show you how to define this extension point in the manifest. So we have two parts to our manifest now with the addition of add-in commands. And the first part, for those of you who may have already built an add-in, is kind of the legacy section. That's where, for all the clients that don't support add-in commands currently, they're going to rely on that legacy version. But if you scroll down in the template provided in Visual Studio, you'll notice a version override section. And for now, it will say version overrides 1.0. And that version overrides 1.0 is the support for add-in commands. So what that means is, on a client, on a client where you have the support for add-in commands, we'll override the legacy section at the top and go ahead and replace that with add-in commands. So in this way, you're able to write an experience that will work in both legacy and the newer clients. But for the module extension, we also need to add a version overrides 1.1. And this version overrides 1.1 allows you to add that support for the module extension. And so if you scroll down a little bit farther in the manifest, you'll notice we have a very similar layout. We still have this extension point, but rather than having the context menu or having the message read command surface, instead we define the module.
And you can see how the notion here is that you have these extension points, right? So today we have a few extension points, but the idea is that in the future we were going to start expanding the collection of extension points where you can integrate into Office, so making it richer and richer the way you can make your solution really feel native, like just like Office.
Yeah. So as we go ahead and scroll down even further, you'll notice you see a lot of commonalities for defining each of these buttons. So you see the control, you see the action, execute function, and the function name. So it's a really great experience here. And I have one last thing I want to talk about. I want to talk about our commitment to bringing all of these great discoverable experiences, like adding commands, to different clients. And so we know that millions of users are on Outlook 2013. And what we kept hearing was, adding commands are great. Hey, can you bring them back to Outlook 2013? And so that's exactly what we did. You'll notice Giphy, which I installed earlier, is appearing. Evernote, Yelp, these are all web add-ins that are now visible in the ribbon utilizing add-in commands inside of Outlook. Isn't that awesome?
That's great. That's awesome.
All right. So we spent some time showcasing the new capabilities, but there's a really integral, critical part to developing add-ins, and that's making sure that you build a great add-in. When you're building for any of the Office clients, you have to remember that users spend a lot of time there. And while they have the great tools inside of Office, there may be additional tools that will help improve their workflow. But in order to get them to use them, you need to have a simple, clean, intuitive, experience. And so we touched on a couple of these a little bit earlier, and with the chorus demo at the beginning, we showed that they had a great engaging first run experience. They had a way for you to get started. Before you signed in, they showed you the value that the add-in would bring. Also, with the pop-up dialog, you can use that for your auth flows, and you can use it across clients. So when you go forward and you want to create your authentication flows, or even maybe the disambiguation case where you just want to get a little bit of clarity from the user, you want to make sure you utilize that dialogue. But the big piece is we've been talking about adding commands, and the great thing that they bring is the ability to adapt your scenario and utilize these different commands and shapes, whether it's a function button, a dropdown, or a task pane. But in order to do that, you have to take a step back. What we want to avoid is if you already have an add-in, you don't just want to say, okay, let me create a new task pane, and that's good to go. It's a single button in the ribbon. All right, I have my discoverability. What you want to do is you want to delight those users. So you want to take a step back and think about your scenario. And I'm going to actually talk a little bit about Boomerang for a second, because when they first put their add-in in the store, they were utilizing a task pane. And they had a good reason for utilizing that task pane. We didn't have the display dialog at that point, so they couldn't authenticate with the function buttons. But you'll notice here, in this task pane, they have all...
Oh, wait a second.
But you'll notice here, they have all of their commands or actions, their different scenarios, in one place. There's five of them there. Now, a user looking at this won't necessarily need to use send later, suggest time, share availability all at the same time. So what would be great, and what Boomerang went ahead and did, was separated each of those actions out as individual items. So those are concrete actions that aren't reliant on any other part of the add-in. And so whenever you have something like that, you want to go ahead and pull it out and surface it. And make sure you utilize the right shape. So I'm going to use send later, for example. Here you have a dropdown. And that's because Boomerang has provided you with a static list of options for when you want this message to be sent. So now it's quick, it's a click and an easy selection menu. The same thing can be said when you're considering remind me. You could imagine I just click remind me and it goes ahead and says, yep, I'm going to remind you if no one responds, right? So it's really important. Think about your scenarios. We can switch back to the PowerPoint. Think about your scenarios and really try and separate out each of those separate scenarios and concrete actions that you can create. Another thing to keep in mind is, in our demo, we talked about CRM, we were trying to magically determine which account the user wanted to associate that message to. And we do that, we can use some learnings, we can figure out kind of what the user's patterns are, maybe they're working on a few specific accounts when it's in relationship to that sender, and so we can try and be really smart about it. And that's really delightful to the user, they don't have to provide as much input. So if we can, the more you can do that, and the more you can utilize that and to make decisions in the background, the better the experience will be for your users. Last thing I want to touch on is be as fast as possible. You want your add-in to load in less than 500 milliseconds, and that's just because you want the users to feel like it's a native part of the experience. You don't want them to click on it and wait for the action. So what we want to encourage you to do is you can take the technical approach. You can say, okay, let me combine some files, my JavaScript files, my CSS files, and that'll make it actually faster, right? But you can also use the perception that your add-in is quick. So you can show in your UI, provide positive enforcement, hey, yeah, this action is completed, even if maybe there's a few things that you're still doing in the background, but at least give the user the perception that you're fast, right? And in the corner cases where you might come back with an error, you can always come back and say, hey, actually, that didn't work. Can you try again? So there's a lot of places where we provide these best practices. And there's you can find them on dev.office.com. But the really important thing I want you to take away is when you're integrating into that Office client, you want to make sure that the users are having a wonderful experience. It's engaging. They want to go back. They make it a part of their daily workflow. And so that's really important to utilize all of these different practices as you're developing your add-in.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for us, quality is really, really important because you are basically putting your UI and your functionality inside Office. So the user will expect the add-in to behave just like Office. So we're making a lot of emphasis on these best practices. So I really recommend you to go to dev.office.com, search for best practices, and you will find a ton of content there that basically goes deeper into what do we consider to be a great add-in that integrates great in the Office UI. Mm-hmm. So now with that, I'm just going to go back to the slide,
okay,
where we saw what's new, and just do a quick summary of all the things that we saw and some of the other things that we didn't see but that are available now from Build. So we saw the full parity for PowerPoint Online. So you can now confidently create PowerPoint add-ins that work across all the different platforms that are already supported. We saw the developer side loading. We saw the new Visual Studio project templates that allow you to easily create Office add-ins in Visual Studio. We saw how to use Office Fabric to really create a UI that looks and feels like Office. You can use the fonts, the icons, and the same constructs that we're using to create the Office UI itself. We saw the new in-client store, that it's more attractive, that it's simpler to install add-ins just with this on-off switch, so that users can more easily get their add-ins that they need. We saw some authentication improvements, how with the Dialog API and integrating into server-side code, you can easily implement an OAuth flow that works across platforms. Some of these common APIs work across products as well. So that display a Dialog API, we used it in Excel, but we are also using it in Outlook and any other client. Some of the things that we didn't see, but I recommend you to take a look, is we are doing a lot of our new specs for new APIs and new capabilities on the open on GitHub. So if you go to dev.office.com and go to our GitHub repository, Office Dev, you will see that we have branches on the same places where we are documenting our APIs. You can switch the branch and go to a branch that will have a preview label, and you can start seeing APIs that haven't been released, but that we're planning to release. And you actually can provide feedback, have a pull request for something that you want to see, and also create issues. Obviously, dev.office.com is the place to go for all things Office add-ins. And lastly, we saw the module extension in Outlook, as well as the adding commands in Outlook 2013. Now, let me go and talk about, in the last few minutes, about the roadmap. So This is the slide that shows where we are in terms of supporting add-ins across different platforms. You can see we have Win32 online and iPad. We announced the Mac at Build. The Mac still needs a little bit of work. There's adding commands still need to be there. We're working hard on that, and that's why it's orange, but we expect to finish that work really soon. And in fact, you will ask, well, what if I create an add-in? Is it going to work on the Mac? So I want to show you just very quickly, I'm in Excel Mac now, and this same QuickBooks project that we did on Win32, you would expect it to work seamlessly on iOS, on online, and now on the Mac, right? But adding commands are not available yet there, and that's why the back compat story that we have in the manifest is really important. Even though there's no adding commands here, you can still load that add-in. And I'm going to go here to the add-ins menu in the Mac. This is a copy of the project. I added a couple of icons to make it look better, but essentially the same code. And you can see how, if I click there, the Display Dialog API is available on the Mac, and I can log in. And again, this is using the same code that you saw. You saw all the lines of code that are needed to implement this flow, so there was nothing hidden. I close the dialog, I get logged in, and if I click the Get Expenses button, then I get the data from QuickBooks. I'm missing just the two commands that I had on the contextual menu, but as soon as we add the support on the Mac for those commands, those features are going to light up. You don't need to change your code. And in the meantime, you can obviously provide some alternative UX to get to those functions. Now, it's not only the work around the multi-platforms that we're doing. There's also a set of very important features that we're working on, like enabling single sign-on. So sometimes your add-in needs to authenticate with the Office 365 or the Microsoft account against a service, for example, the Graph API, right? So in that case, why do the user doesn't need to log in at all? Because they are already providing the credentials to Office. So we're building this feature to make it even more seamless to use the add-in inside Office for add-ins that want to connect to Office 365 and the Microsoft Graph API. You saw the preview of the new IT deployment that doesn't require SharePoint, and it's based on the Office 365 admin UI, and will allow IT admins to easily push add-ins to individual users or groups. We will continue to invest and make that feature really rich and robust. Adding commands and WeTalk are coming very soon to the Mac, as well as Outlook.com. We continue to work on making sure that all the APIs work consistently and robustly across all the platforms and all the products. And we saw also contextual add-ins and persistent task panes as things that developers are requesting for in Outlook. The ability, for example, to have a task pane that can operate across multiple items is something that we are frequently hearing about, and that's something we're working on. And the store experience that we show you in Outlook, we're bringing those improvements as well to the other clients. So really, in the next few months, we expect to have the four clients that we support today on par, really consistent, so that you can confidently create add-ins that work seamlessly across all these. And then I'm just going to wrap up with what are the next steps. Obviously, we've been talking a lot about dev.office.com. That's the single destination if you want to learn or get pointers to all these places. But there's a lot of channels that we have where you can engage with us. There's user voice where you can provide us feedback. There's podcasts that on a weekly basis, there are discussion about different topics. There's the Channel 9. There's YouTube videos. You can also follow us on Twitter or subscribe to the Yammer Network. There's also a developer preview program that you can join if you want to get early access to the new features that we're working on. You just go to dev.office.com, and there's a link right there in the homepage if you want to join this preview program. And with that, I'm going to just ask you to give us feedback. What can we do to improve the session? What did you like about the session? And thank you very much. We have some a couple of minutes, maybe a minute, for a question and answer in case people want to ask questions. All right, thank you.